Blog Talk Radio.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this
one? UCR.
Go.
We say and what we want, give it to you non-stop. Any place, anytime, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we never gonna settle. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Yes, that is us. We are Uncensored Radio. We are your guiltiest pleasure, and I hope you brought your cocktails. I hope you brought your fun, because we are about to dive right into some juicy conversation. With me tonight, I'm Karen Ashley, is Jeffrey Emmett. How are you, Jeffrey?
I am peachy keen.
Woo, I like that. And we also got Jamesy in the house. What's up, James?
What's up? Well, let's see, my ceiling, a cloudy sky, probably. I can't see outside. Probably
the
moon.
Oh, Lord. And Katrina Johnson is MIA. We don't know. We're going to start some rumors right now. Where do you think Katrina Johnson is? I think she's getting a boob job.
Katrina Johnson is probably, no, I think she's in jail for beating the shit out of Amanda Bynes at an airport.
I'm going to be really foul. I think she took too many Adderall yesterday, and she's comatose.
Sounds good. They all sound good. Let's say she's doing all those things. We're going to roll with that since she's missing.
We're at Hall PMD. We'll get those rumors going.
Yes, please. Submit this episode to TMZ fans out there so we can get some more TMZ plugs. This time we will talk badly about Katrina. No, but how is everybody? How is everybody doing?
I am good. You know, after yesterday's show, all I've been able to listen to is Pink.
Oh, I love her. I don't blame you. Don't blame you, because she's pretty fantabulous. I mean, I don't even know. There's no other word for her. Like, she's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, she's fantabulous.
You know what I like about her? She is fearless. Like, I mean, you look at, you know what we got to do, Jeff? We have got to go to Pink Show Live. Like, I hear it will change your life. Like, you think you love her now, but you go to a live show of hers, and they say your life will be changed. Like, she needs to be in Vegas doing the whole Vegas thing. Like, huge sets, the whole shebang.
Well, I think the problem is, though, like, again, I said yesterday, she doesn't have, I mean, she's got a huge following here, but it's nothing compared to Australia. And it's something she talks about. Like, that's really where she makes her money. It's Australia, which is a shame to me, because I haven't really listened to this album that just came out too much, so I'm really behind on it, which I feel horrible. But the one, I think it was the one before The Greatest Hits or whatever, where she did the song, Funhouse. That was an amazing record. If you were going through some shit, you were breaking up with somebody, that was the cut for you.
Well, you know what's great about it? She was going through some things. Like, you remember, she was, like, honest about my marriage is kind of having problems. We had to reconnect. We had to re-fall in love with each other. Like, that's the thing. Like, she keeps it real. And I think that's what people identify with. Because if you've ever been in a relationship or you've ever been in love, it's the hardest thing. I mean, you almost have to reconnect with each other on a daily basis, you know? And sometimes you get in that mode where, you know, it just can be, you know, I don't know. I just think it's beautiful how she just tells you the good, the bad, the ugly, you know?
Right. She's very real, raw, and honest. Which makes
her
fantastic.
Definitely does. I mean,
My favorite song by her is called Blood Like You.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah. My favorite song by her is Blood Like You off of her new album.
I love it. I love it. Anybody who has a song like that, entitled that, they're my favorite person. I mean, it's just what it is.
Exactly. I know, right?
What
I'm easily pleased.
Yeah, you kind of are.
Who, me?
Yeah.
I'm easy to please? Really?
Yeah, I think out of every...
you cry and say, there's just no pleasing you, I can ignore you because I'm really easy to please.
I think with a lot of things, like, you expect simple things out of life, but I think sometimes your simple things are just not simple for me, and it annoys my face. But I also know that sometimes it's just easier to give you your way than to fight, because it's not fun to fight with you. I hate fighting with you. It's like the worst thing on the planet. Like, it's just not cute.
I don't know why it does. I'll fight with me, Jay. What's
I'll fight with you.
I'm fighting with you. This is what it is, and this is what I think it should be. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
But then
we'll say
the opposite, and you're like, no. Like, there's no discussion.
Well, you know why I think this? Because a lot of times I will say this about you, Jeff, and there's nothing wrong with this, but this is, I think that with you, a lot of times it's emotionally driven. And when it comes to business or when it comes to, you got to step back, and it can't be emotional. It needs to be business. What's the best thing for the radio show? What is the best thing to do?
Okay, then I'll give you.
We're all emotion all day, and I'm kind of like, but that's not the best thing for us to do for the radio show. Like, even the things I don't like, sometimes you got to be the one to make the hard decision, because the things you don't like might be the best for the greater good of the show. If the show's always the focus, then, you know, I don't know.
I agree.
Stop.
I agree wholeheartedly with Ms. Ashley.
I agree with you on that.
Have different views on different things.
Absolutely. But I think that's the beautiful part of us, is right. That there are times I buy into the emotion, because I'm not just unemotional. I'm very emotional.
Cold-hearted Tiger.
I'm very emotional, actually. So I'm not unemotional,
You're emotional?
Mm-hmm. I am. You just don't know that side of me, because most of the times we're talking about the radio show. He's at a loss for words.
I'm trying to think about a time. Well, because we've talked a lot about other things besides the radio show, and I'm just trying to think. I mean, I don't know. I just don't. I guess I don't see, like, raw emotion from you ever. But I'm also not there in person, so it's a little different, I guess.
We're usually surrounded by fans, Power Ranger fans, or we're usually talking about the radio show. Like, think about it.
True. Cold hearted fans of Tiger.
Think about it. And someone who else doesn't, you know, who I've witnessed lately, you know, who I think is also an emotional person. Shout out to Rihanna for posting that picture of her ass. She posted a picture on Instagram yesterday. And they say it's for Chris Brown. It was actually 2 days ago. They say it's for Chris Brown, but I don't think it's for Chris Brown. I think Rihanna is in love with herself. And she straight up posted a picture of the crack of her ass. And
get fresh.
It was actually a beautiful picture of her ass. I don't even have any, I can't even hate on the crack of Rihanna's ass. Like, yowzer. But what gets me is, you know, that whole situation is just straight up drama. It's straight up crazy. Why recently has Chris Brown been hanging around his ex-girlfriend, the girl that he straight dissed for Rihanna? Like, how could you be cool with him? Like, your breakup was so public. It was so, like, out there for everyone to see. He obviously cheated on you, and now you're hanging out with him. Like, I couldn't do it.
That's embarrassing.
With Rihanna, like, she's so fucking hot. And, like, not to say this girl isn't pretty, but this girl's gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous girl, but she's not Rihanna. Like, she's beautiful, but Rihanna's got, like, almost a hot, slutty, vivacious vixen kind of thing going on, you know?
It's embarrassing. Like, this bitch has got no self-worth. Like, to go back with a guy that dissed you, like, especially to have it so public like that, that chick's got no self-worth. And I actually feel sorry for her. But at the same time, like, I feel like you're a dumb chick. Like, what are you doing with your life? Like, you just don't do it. Like, and this is where I feel like, again, this goes back to parenting and school systems. Maybe if we taught people actual life skills in school and we did this at home, there wouldn't be these issues. Because it's not just this case. It's across the board. Women have no self-worth. And not just women, men too. Gay boys, you know, straight boys, Cuban boys, you name it. Everybody got all these self-worth issues. And it really makes me sad. Because this really should be something like, instead of health class, maybe, you know, we should be teaching self-worth and how to love yourself. Because people
appreciate who you are.
Right, and it's so shocking to me. I'd probably say 80% of the people that I've known in my life do not have self-worth. They do not value themselves as a person and do not think that they're worthy of anything better than where their life's at that moment. And that makes me sad for them, because no matter how low it's gotten in my life, but, you know, I love myself probably a little too much. But I'm like, oh, no, baby, I'm destined for better than this. I got to step out. I'm sorry.
So, but this is the thing. You and I got into a conversation a couple days ago where you said that it's very hard, or it's almost unnatural to be in a committed relationship, right? Like,
Let me clarify
what you said.
Because, you know, being the Libra that I am, I try to always see both sides of everything. Now, I don't necessarily believe this.
It's so crazy that we're both Libras. That's my fight.
I know. Well, yeah, but what's fucked up is I always want to see both sides. I don't feel that you ever do. It's your way or the highway. But that's a whole other show. I can understand.
Yeah, crazy.
Shush.
Oh my god.
Oh, I just realized my back porch is leaking. This is a problem. Son of a bitch.
Sorry.
So, yeah. Wait, what happened? What are we talking about? Oh, yeah.
Commitment.
So, yeah, again, this is not how I particularly feel. But I can understand the philosophy of we're looking at sex as this intimate act between two people. And I kind of was just sitting back and thinking about it. And I'm like, why do we think that way? If we were never taught anything about it, would we feel that way, or would it be as simple as going to the movies with your best friend? Because what makes
how
that intimate?
Compare it to that?
Because if we stripped away,
because
if we went back
the
to say,
act of sex, this is the thing, the act of sex, the only reason you really should, no, I mean, not the reason, the only reason, but one of the reasons and one of the things that comes from the act of sex is creating life. It should be.
Okay, but I'm putting all that aside.
No, you can't put that aside. You can't.
I am.
This is the reality. You have all these people who have, you know, baby mamas and baby daddies. And it's like nobody,
it's
you know, together.
Stupid people. Wear a condom and take the pill.
But still, even so, people don't. So that's the reality. Like, if you don't, in my opinion, if you don't cherish the act of sex, then what else is there to be cherished? This is what we do to procreate. This is what we do to create life. And, yeah, we also do this to pleasure ourselves. And we also get great pleasure out of it, and we also have fun, and it's also, you know, I'm not saying anything is wrong with sex, and I don't think there's anything wrong with having sex and lots of sex. I don't care what you do. But something's got to be sacred. You can't compare it to going to the movies with your friends. Come on.
I feel like, oh, okay, now I remember the conversation.
Can't be that casual.
I remember how I got to this point. Because we were talking about some specific folks we know. And how we were talking was that one particular party was just kind of in it for sex. The person was in a relationship, and, this was just sex to that person. And I was like, I kind of get that. I'm like, because I feel like it can be two different things. Like, you can be in love with somebody completely, but still want to have sex with other people. Like, to me, I can understand the thought behind it. And I can understand why, for some people, that's what they do and that's what they need. And I don't necessarily know that makes them a bad person. I'm thinking maybe they just need to be a little more honest with themselves and the person they're with. Because I find it more and more, especially with people that I've met and know, they're not just gay, a lot of straight folks, monogamy is just not their thing. Like, it's not for them. I feel like it's starting to become a minority. Like, I feel there's more people having kind of casual sex, and I think there's a lot of things, like, it's kind of taboo, so people don't really talk about it. But, you know, like, we talked before in the show, I had those friends that were kind of swingers and kind of did their thing, you know, and they'd swap out and kind of do whatever, and, you know, they'd go to the club and this one hook up with that, and then, after they did that, then they'd have amazing sex, and their relationship, they had the best relationship out of most people that I know.
Right.
So,
but I think that's them. This is what I think. I think for some people, like, you're in a mature place in your heart and your life and your mind. Not everybody is mentally mature. So when you have sex is a very emotional. It's almost like you let down your guard when you're having sex. And especially if you're reaching an orgasm.
For me,
you're reaching well, that's you, though, Jeff. Because I got a big-ass wall around me.
But it just never has been for me. Like, it just wasn't an emotional thing.
You're not having the right sex, honey. I hate to break it to you.
I've had passionate sex. Like, but I feel there's a difference. Like, there's passionate sex, and then there's sex. I feel like making love and having sex are two very, very, very different things.
But this is the thing. Most people go in it with the intention. They lead with their heart. Even if you don't admit to it, you know, you say I'm unemotional, but most people lead with their heart. And when you have sex, and especially when your body feels things it's never felt before, you become a person who is emotionally vulnerable. So for you, Jeffrey, who is like, I'm not emotional, like, you're unemotional in the bedroom, it sounds like. Most people are emotional in the bedroom.
No,
it's a very emotional moment.
I don't feel that I am unemotional, but I feel like there's different times for it. Like,
if you're truly emotional, then you can't control that. You can't control your emotion. You're connected. You're bonded.
You're with this person, and
it's a very intimate thing. I mean, you really let your guard down when you have sex. I mean, they're in places that only, you know.
I'm not saying that's not the case for most people or a lot of people, but I'm saying I feel like there's a lot of people that are on the other side of this, that they can be in love and have, you know, make love to whoever they're with and be in love with that person wholly, but they still have sex with other people, and that to them is
just my opinion, yeah, it might just be sex, but something's missing. Something's missing out of that relationship, because when you really love someone and when you're really connected, you don't want to be with anybody else. You don't. And there are plenty of people who can attest to that. But when you are wanting to be with somebody else, something is missing inside of you. Ain't nothing
but
wrong with that person that you're with.
That sex was something emotional, and that two people do that when they're in love, would we feel this way?
And I think we should have been, because the reality is, at the end of the day, something's got to be sacred. You can't just live all willy-nilly with no morals, no standards, no nothing. People get hurt that way. That's why there are millions of people who are hurt. They're not hurt because, they're hurt because emotions are involved. They've been with someone, they've touched them emotionally, and guess what? That person wasn't emotional about you. And that hurts. The rejection hurts.
I'm not saying that
until we can turn our hearts off, you can't say that we can all just get to a place and, oh, it's just sex. It's just sex. It means nothing. It means a lot to a lot of people.
Well, I'm not saying that it doesn't by any means. I'm just trying to get the flip side where I feel like there are people that sex is just a physical act to them. It's just something they enjoy doing with other folks. And they like to do it with a lot of other folks.
Right.
I'm not saying that's something that you or I do.
Let's say there's a man and there's a woman and he's with her, right? They're husband and wife. And this man likes to have sex with other people. 99.9% of the time, he's not going to tell his wife that. He's going to sneak off and have sex with other people.
Right.
I don't think the act of him having sex is what's going to hurt her. It's the lying. It's the deceit.
I completely agree. And I completely agree with that. But what I'm talking about is the people in relationships
that he was banging out some other chick.
That talk about it.
Territorial.
And that they're okay with this. And this is their lifestyle.
Most people aren't, though. Most people aren't. There are very few people who are okay with it.
I
think communication is like the biggest break. Like, most couples don't talk to each other the way that they should. So to me, I think you're judging something off of maybe a handful of people that you know.
Well, look at Monique. She's actually a celebrity that talks about it.
Yeah. But I also see her as very, like, I look at Monique, and there are so many times that I'll sit there and listen to her on an interview, or sit there and listen, and it doesn't seem like she's so happy, because she's too busy trying to sell me on her happiness. Like, she was I'm fine, I'm big, I'm black, I'm beautiful, I'm, you know, this, that, and that. Fat means fabulous and fantastic, and well, she had all these acronyms for fat, but yet she just lost, like, 60 pounds. And she's like, I needed to be more healthy. My husband opened my eyes that I was hurting myself and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, probably. But I don't think she was ever really happy being the biggest girl in the room. I don't think that.
Well,
and I know,
think...
like, look at her. She did an amazing job in Precious. But look at the two actresses. I mean, most people who win an Oscar, they're flooded with movie offers. We haven't seen her in anything since then.
Right.
She wasn't flooded with movie offers.
Well, I think that's because it's stereotypical and she has a certain persona, where I'm not necessarily sure that's because she's fat, because, I mean, well, I don't know that you want to say, like, what's her name? What's the other one? Oh, God. She was in, not The Holiday. Yeah, Holiday?
Queen Latifah?
Yeah, Queen Latifah. She's a bigger girl, and she's in movies constantly, and she's a star.
She produces her own movies. She produces them. All the movies she does, she produces.
Well, they're usually great. Like, they're usually fantastic movies. I mean, they're not runaway hits.
Right.
But a lot of them do really well.
Hollywood's not calling her. She's creating her own opportunity.
Well, there you go. But maybe that's what Marlene needs to do.
But not everybody's a producer. Not everybody's a writer.
No.
Not everybody can... Like, I will say this. Certain people can make a movie come off the ground. Not everybody can do that. Some people they're actors. And I'm not saying Monique isn't a talented person. She's an amazing comedian. She's an amazing actress. But
she's rough around the edges. Where if you compare her and Queen Latifah, I think for the most part, has an image of kind of being a sweet person, a nice person. Whereas Monique's kind of a rough ass, a tough ass, been through it, constantly yelling. Like, she always got critiqued on her talk show that she had, which I actually liked. But the bitch was always yelling. She liked me. Like, I always sit here and I'm like, why the hell am I yelling into this phone?
Right. She's a yeller. She's definitely a yeller.
Yeah, like, I get it. Because, you know, I got the guinea in me. So that's what you do. You talk really loud and, you know, like, I don't even consider it yelling. Like, you want me to yell at you. You don't even know what that is. And scream is a whole nother ball game. But I feel like it's not, I feel like that's the difference between the two of them, and that's why she's not getting their movie roles, because
of
her persona. Like, you can't put her.
She's really sweet. I worked with Monique.
I'm not saying she's not.
I don't even think that's it, but I know, like, she could get a meeting. Like, once you win an Oscar, you can get a meeting. I just don't think that, the whole moral of my story is Monique can sell you all day on how she's so happy with who she is, but I don't feel that genuine happiness in her when she speaks. And so when she talks about, you know, oh, we've got an open marriage, I just feel Monique has been through so much that she's come to a place in her life where she's okay as long as her husband's there for her emotionally. I don't think she's really okay with be having an open marriage. I don't really think that. I mean, this woman was abused by her brother, you know, for years, molested. So to me, it's already like she's got some things she's overcoming mentally. She's got issues with men, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then she had a broken marriage where he cheated on her.
Because that's the one thing I don't know, that, you know, that he, you know, they have an open marriage where he does what he wants, but does she do what she wants? I've never actually...
I don't know. I don't know what that means. Like, when you say I've got open marriage, does that mean you invite people over and y'all have sex together? Does that mean he could go have sex with someone? I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know.
I think we need to get her on the show.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't really know what that means, but I just feel like at the end of the day, I don't feel the genuineness. Maybe her and her husband are great friends. He may even be great lover to her. I don't know. I will say, in my opinion, the times that she talks about having open marriage, I don't think she's so happy about it. I think she's convincing everybody that she's happy about it.
Well, can everybody look Monique up and find me some contact information? Let's see if we can get her on to discuss this with us.
Let's get her on this show so we can get some clarification.
I know, because I really feel like, and that's, I probably should have called my friend that, you know, does this thing, because we don't really know. Like, again, like, I can't really answer a lot of these things because it's not my lifestyle. It doesn't work for me. But I can understand how it does work for some. I can understand the appeal. I can see how, you know, if you're communicating openly with your spouse, how it could work, because people are different. And, you know, like I said, like,
you don't
I
think
have,
at some point, like, one of the spouses is going to be there, and you're like, or let's say they're in front of you, and your wife is having sex with some other man, and it looks like she. No, I'm just saying. Let's say they're okay with it. Like, let's say there's husband and wife, and they're happy. And they talk, and they go, guess what, we want an open marriage. And like, I'm cool with it. Okay, cool, I'm cool with it. So they go do their thing, but they also do their thing together. And you're a husband, and you're sitting there one day, and you look at your wife, and she's having sex with another man, and she's enjoying it. You can't tell me, human nature, like, we get jealous. We get sad. We get emotional. We get insecure. Like, those are true feelings that people have. I just don't think that you're really okay with it. I just think that there's a passive person and there's an aggressive person in the relationship. And the aggressive person wants this, and the passive person just goes with it. I could be totally wrong.
I don't know. Like, I really feel like there's people that can just do it, and they really are in the mind frame that it just is what it is, that they don't put the emotions into it that we do. I think it's just a different kind of breed. Like, I really, truly do. Because I've seen this dude, like, he does not care. Like, I'm telling you, I saw pictures. It was a little traumatizing.
Lord.
Yeah, girl. Oh, Lord, right. But, you know, like, that truly, like, that is their thing. It'll be interesting to see in 10 years if they're still together. But, you know, that's what they do. That's how they roll. If they bang.
Well, James, you shared a story once where there was a couple who propositioned you, and you kind of were like, you actually were the person they brought into the bedroom. Do you think that they honestly didn't care? Like, do you in your heart of hearts go, this is what they do, this is how they get off, but they didn't really, it's just sex. I mean, I don't know, because you were the person they snuck into the bedroom.
Well, and the person that they snuck into the bedroom, I just had sex with a husband. And, I mean, as far as I know, it's not something that they do constantly. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, the last time I know of anything happening like that was with me. So, and that's been a while. So I can't very well say that they're in an open relationship, open marriage. Like, I'm not that into it. So, but yeah, like the last time, as far as I know, the last time anything like that happened was with me. And it was just me and him, and she sat there and she watched, and I don't think, like, she just sat there and watched. Like, that was it. Like, she wasn't...
See,
you know,
that's kind of creepy to me. Like,
yeah,
I
don't know,
I
just watched it.
I hit it with a married couple,
yeah.
But she was active in the activities.
Huh.
So that's kind of, like, that's a little taboo for me. Like, I you know.
Like, she just watched. This person didn't. She wasn't active at all.
Yeah, like, the married couple I, you know, had some entertainment times with, it was a group participation kind of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just, that's kind of, but I mean, I know a lot of straight women that love watching gay porn, and they love watching two guys go at it, and it, I don't understand it.
Well, my thing is this, I wonder if, at any point, did she get jealous? Because you said, like, he was into you. He was into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if she goes, mm-hmm. She's not that into me, like, or if she's like, I don't know, like, I wish I could get into their mind.
Well,
I
think
I know
they
you
feel like
something. You feel
that's
something.
That's something that they can't do. Like, mm-hmm. It's just that simple, like, I mean, I could look at it from the gay side. Like, if I had a dude step out with a girl, like, it would piss me off in the sense that, like, I can't compete with that. You know what I'm saying? So, if it was just sex, it'd be fine. But if, you know, it's still kind of awkward because it's like, I can't really compete with this. So, I think when, like, we talked about it, like, I'm thinking she's, like you said earlier, like, I agree that this is probably where that relationship's at, where she's just the passive one, giving him what he wants because she loves him that much, and she's willing to do whatever she needs to do to keep her man. Like, I don't know. Where's my friend Roxanne?
And that could also be the situation with my friend, you know, that she's the passive one and she wants to give him what he wants, and she's so in love. Because I think when we talked about this, Karen, I think, brought up that subject of, like, maybe she is just so in love with him that she doesn't care, and she'll do anything
right
to him. You know?
What do you think, though? Knowing them as friends, who do you think's the passive one and who do you think's the aggressive one?
Between them, he's more
mm-hmm.
the passive one,
mm.
and she's the aggressive one. I mean, it's more of, yeah, like, I mean, she's the one that kind of calls the shots. She kind of wears the pants in the family, things like that situation. It was a very awkward situation for me because, like, one, I don't like being watched. And it was awkward for me because this is, like, my friend's husband, and I'm totally letting him go at me right now. It's just, I mean, it was nice. It was good. But, like, it was. And it's like, how do we talk about this later? Like, we've yet to really, like, discuss any of it or even talk about it.
Well, you don't.
It, it's just like.
You don't. You just move on. Like, it happened. It is what it is. And
mm-hmm.
you just kind of move forward. Like, they don't want to discuss it.
You can never say I'm unemotional. You are so unemotional.
Who?
You. That's so unemotional. Like,
why?
You don't talk about it. You act like it never happened.
Yeah.
And you just go and hang out with your girl, and you're like, that girl,
And I'm not like that. I'm not like that at all, because actually, another friend of mine, before her and this guy started dating, him and I had kind of fooled around a little bit. And
mm-hmm.
he, it was like a couple of months later, they started dating. Well, she found out. And when she found
mm-hmm.
out, she wanted nothing to do with me. She was like, we're not friends anymore, blah, 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 whatever. And then a couple months later, well, not a couple months later, it was like maybe
a year
later.
Well, I think that's wrong, because he's the one who had the relationship. You didn't.
Well, that's fucked up, because it was before her. So if anything, you should have been pissed at her, because, bitch, you stole my man. I had him first. You get my sloppy seconds.
Right. Or I just think that you're the one wanting to get involved with him. Why are you mad at me? Like, you can't be mad at me.
He's the one that conditioned me.
Yeah.
Right. Like, he's the one that, you know, brought this to me and all that other stuff. But when it got to the point, like, we didn't talk for, like, 2 years. And then she calls me
mm-hmm.
and she's like, you know, we kind of reconnected and we went out of town. We went on a trip. Her and I went to Iowa to see David Cook in concert for my 21st birthday. And
mm-hmm.
we went in the car on the way there. We had, like, this, you know, we found God session. Like, we talked, and we talked the whole situation out and talked about everything and just laid all the cards out on the table about what happened and how the situation went down. And, you know, I never meant to hurt her that way. She never meant to hurt me that way. Like, we dove into it to let the emotion kind of just take over and be like, you know what, we need to move past this so that our friendship can continue later, you know? Like, it wasn't... That emotion was good for us because we were able to get out the aggravation, the aggression, all that stuff as to what happened prior. So I'm not an emotionalist person where I whenever I'm over hanging out with them, like, it's in the back of my head, like, what the fuck? we need to address this. Like, we need to address the situation. Because after it happened, like, we were done, I got dressed, and I went home, and, like, not a word was said of it after that. And so it's kind of like, I kind of need that closure, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just, like, oh, my God, I hate it. I hate that feeling of, like, it's the elephant in the room, and we can't talk about it.
Right, because that's what I'm saying. When people don't talk, when you act like something, that's the worst thing to do. But if you talk about it, it's dead. You felt it, you know what I'm saying? Like, you get the opportunity to get that off your chest. And then it's over.
Right.
I don't understand. Like, that's different. Like, you're not trying to be in a relationship with the guy. You're just friends with them. So what is there really to discuss? Like, it was an evening, you did something, like, I mean, do you really go and rehash going to the movies with somebody? I mean, this is a little different. But you just move on. Like, unless it gets brought up again. You know, or if you're alone or whatever with maybe him, you could bring it up. But, you know, maybe you just need to move on.
Because I think in a situation like that, where if I was alone with him and brought it up, it could be misconstrued into I'm hitting on him.
Well, do they ever bring it up to you? No.
No.
So, I mean, it's just something you move on from. Like, it's not a big deal. It was just sex. She watched. They weren't trying to get in a relationship. They weren't trying to have...
No, this is a different one.
No, this is back to that one.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay.
Back to my married friends. Yeah.
So then
see, who doesn't pay
you?
Attention?
No, because I thought it was a different story. Like, I thought it was a different couple. The girl didn't talk to you anymore, you said, for 2 years?
Yeah, that was a completely different friend of mine. That was when I was, like, teenager-ish. I was, like, 17, 18 years old.
Right, okay,
that
so
point,
I'm getting...
Yeah, this was,
like, back to the married
21.
People? Okay.
Right.
I'm so confused.
Sorry. I didn't mean to change the subject so quickly.
Okay, what's sad is I was calling my girlfriend on the other horn to see if she wanted to call in about this, and I still knew what the hell he was talking about.
Oh. Yeah, because, see, you came back to the first story, and I'm like, hold on, are we talking about another girl who stopped being your friend? And, like, it was a whole other situation.
No, I knew that.
Yeah, no, like, I'm still friends with the married couple, and I'm still friends with the other situation, but it's just, it's weird. I have weird relationships.
Well,
I
think these men are gay. Like, this
they're
one, I'm going to
so
take Karen's side and be like, they're just gay. Like,
gay.
It's gay. Especially the one where the wife was watching. He's gay. But he is in denial about it, and he probably just doesn't want to accept the fact. Because I think for a lot of people, there's a person close to me that is gay. But their ideals, like, they cannot break free from, I want the wife, I want the kids, I want that dream, where they cannot get that out of their head. So, you know, they're constantly unhappy because they're really, really gay.
Yes.
But they're just, they can't accept
it. Not kinda, not maybe, not bi, they're gay.
Like, I feel like if you're like...
Because the way that happened, it's like...
Homo, hello.
You know what I'm... Yeah, the way that it went down, it doesn't even strike me as bi. It strikes me as gay.
Yeah, almost say what?
Right. I said homo hello.
I think that's very interesting, though. Like, the whole bisexual thing. I do believe that there are true bisexuals.
I do.
And again, I feel like this is because, to them... I could be in love with a guy, or I could be in love with a girl, and also it comes down to the sex thing, and maybe this is where we need to call BC and find out, is it just sex to him? Is it not emotional? Because
you know
at
I
that
think,
point,
though?
To me, I would think that that's not emotional. Like you're just a hole. Basically, a hole is a hole is a hole.
Right. Well, no, this is what I think.
We're all pink on the inside.
I think.
Oh, oh my God. Oh my God.
You know what I do think? I think what people are by. I really think if you look at that person and if you analyze that person, you'll find that they are, and I might get
greedy.
In trouble. People might hate me for saying this. They're greedy, they're selfish, or they are overcompensating for something.
Now, see, I know BC gets really pissed when people say this.
I know.
He is truly offended by it because he's like,
yeah.
he swears.
People may hate me for this. They may hate me for saying this.
Like, he's just a bisexual and people don't understand. Like, and I think there was some medical article or whatever that they're doing studies on it because now they're saying they're straight, they're gay, they're bisexual, transgender, blah, 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 blah. You know, I don't even know all the terms anymore. I'm getting old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, I think there is a classification. But I'm wondering, is the emotions turned off in this? Is it just about sex?
I think the emotions are still on. I don't think people are as unemotional as you think they are, Jeff. Like, I think when someone is with someone,
if they're with somebody to go date them. I mean, if they're just going to go hook up at a bar. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're going out tonight and the one thing on your mind is I'm going out to get laid, and you don't care if you go home with a...
meaningful relationships, right, with both, a man and a woman.
No.
So I don't think it's...
Uh-uh.
No? What do you mean?
I don't really think he's ever dated a guy.
I think you're basing everything off of him, though. Like,
no,
I mean,
I'm not, because I know other bisexuals.
I'm just
using him as the example because that's who everybody knows,
mm-hmm.
which is probably bad, and he's probably going to kill me. but he's got no, you know, he's not shy about talking about his life, so it'll be all right. And that's what he gets for not coming to visit me at nap time, because he could have been a part of this conversation.
Sure could have.
Yeah.
But go on. Keep telling us what you were thinking.
I don't know. Like, it's just interesting to me. Like, I get, like, you know, you can like both sexes. I believe it's possible. Like, I find the female body very attractive. They just had that huge article about Jennifer Aniston doing, like, the stripper pole thing. Like, she has an amazing body. And that whatever the new movie is where she's, like, pretty much naked. She's an amazing body, and I can definitely appreciate the female anatomy. But, I mean, now in my life, like, I've just, you know, vagina's not really the way to go for me. It's not really my thing. But I could appreciate it. And I'm not saying, like, you know, if Joe and I ever got divorced, I'm not saying that I wouldn't sleep with a girl again. It could happen.
I can't even imagine how that would even go down.
Honey, sometimes, like, this is where I say, like, this
again,
is where
I'm like. Again, like I said,
just,
greedy. Just greedy.
No, it's horny. Horny.
Mm-hmm. Greedy. Like, I think Jeff just wants to because he can.
Well,
yeah.
And there is something about it, like, especially, you know, women that are like, I can turn you, I can turn you, I can turn you. You ain't going to turn me, but we can have fun trying.
See? Greedy.
I'm a nice person. I'm just giving them what they need.
Greedy,
I feel like I'm just
selfish.
Doing my civic duty.
Look
like
at
that's
greedy,
a challenge.
Selfish, and overcompensating. Thank you very much.
Exactly. I agree.
Okay, now to be honest, Joe and I are not going to get divorced because if we are, one of us is going to be in a body bag. And second of all, I probably will never sleep with a woman again as long as I live. I'm good. But just saying, it could, but it's not going to. Just like to clarify.
Oh, man.
Oh,
my
God.
Oh, man. But you learn so much on this show, huh, James?
Yes.
When my theories stop coming true, then just let me know. Just let me know when my theories don't have some merit. My theories have some merit. They may not be completely true, and I'm not going to say that I'm all-knowing, because I would like for someone to come on the show and enlighten me, because I don't know. And I'm just going off of what I've observed with my bisexual friends and my, you know, I'm going off of what I've observed and just knowing them as people, knowing them in their relationships, and knowing them just in their life, like just at work, at, you know. I look at all of it and I go, and it usually is one of those three things. Like they're overcomping for something that happened in their childhood, or they're, you know, they got a really selfish side to them, or they're just downright greedy. Like they just go, I can, so I will, and I am. Like,
well,
it's
what's
almost
wrong
like
with
arrogant.
That?
I'm not saying anything. I didn't say anything was wrong with any of it. I'm just saying when you look at the heart of it and you break it down, it's usually, in my opinion alone, it's usually one of those three things. But I'm not saying that something's wrong with it. I'm not saying that you should be damned or, you know, go to hell in a handbasket, because I'm not judging. I'm just saying in my observance, that's what I found was the root of what they do. Because I'm just one of those people who likes to overanalyze people. I should have been a psychiatrist. I should have been someone who got to just sit there and watch people.
You are way not sensitive. No. You are not sympathetic to people.
I am sympathetic. I am. I'm totally sympathetic to people. But when you need a good kick in the ass and you're on a pity party, a pity party train to nowhere, I'm going to kick you in the ass.
Yeah, you are pretty
cool.
You are a great sounding board.
You
are my favorite person to call when I'm in a fucked up place. And I know I'm wrong because you will just. And you're not even mean about it, so I guess you shouldn't say that. No, like, you're telling me what I already know, but what I need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, there is not a lot of people that in my life that I could call them up and they would tell me what I want to hear, but I know that that's not the case. Whereas you are the person I can call, and I know you're going to tell me what I need to hear. And I do appreciate that very much.
And my thing with that is I feel like if you're a real friend, you're going to be sympathetic, but then you're also going to say, snap out of it. Come on. Like, I'm not going to entertain this crazy trip you're on right now.
I think that's why.
Listen to one of the shows last week.
Funny?
Case in point, James E. Drunk. Yes. Listen to one of the shows last week.
At first,
James
we were
drunk.
Letting him get it out. And then me and Daisy were like, hold up, wait a minute. Like, it started turning into, like, you know how a drunk person does. I would say drunk people do funny things because it's all real emotion. They'll either be happy and in love with everybody, or they'll start fighting. Like, they start getting mad, you know, and that's real emotion. Something's going on in their life, and they have to fight. They feel like they got to get that anger out. Or they go down the pity party road. But it's usually one of three things. They're either in love, mad as hell, or sad as hell. And James, he was like, first he was in the moment, and then all of a sudden it got darker. And then darker. And then darker. And we were like, what is happening before our eyes? And we were like, And Daisy was like, okay, first of all, we're not going to allow this. You're not going to have no pity party. But she just, like, started cutting it short. I was dying. Because last time you were drunk, James, you fell in love. Like, you were in love with everybody. And this time, you were, like, ready to slit your wrist.
I listened to that show the next day because I couldn't remember it. And I was not going down the road of self-harm.
No, you weren't going down the road of self-harm. But what you were going down the road to, you're right. What you were going down the road to is, I'm going to talk shit about James. And we were like, we're not having it. Not on this show. You ain't talking shit about yourself. You're not going to put yourself down in front of us. Like, no, absolutely not. We can have fun all day, but we're not going to put ourselves down and accept the things that we're saying. Because you were like, putting yourself down, and then you were like, and believing it. And we were like, oh, no, you're not going to believe that, not for 1 minute. Absolutely not.
I agree. Well, and I think one of the most unattractive, sorry, James, things about people, it's either the pity party where they're putting themselves down to meet somebody. Not that you do this, James. But, like, when you meet somebody, you know, for the first time and you're going on the pity party train, like, nobody loves me, my ex left me, my life is horrible, my dog died, my sister is a lesbian, you know. Or the other one where I just never do anything wrong and people just shit on me constantly.
Right.
Like, those are the two things to me that it's like, you got to get the fuck out of my face. Like, I can't even be your friend hearing you. Like, you know, poor Midget, God bless her heart. But that bitch is kind of the second part of that where she, you know, bitch do no wrong. And I'm like, bitch, you need to stop telling people your business. Stop telling them about your asshole ex and how you were this sweet, amazing girlfriend and she was this rotten bitch, because people don't buy it. And it's a turn off.
Right. That's the thing. You, when you have a breakup, like, you really got to step back and you really have to go, okay, what's my part and what's your part? And you really got to, like, if you can take account for what you did to make things wrong, then you're more likely to learn from the situation. Or you're more likely to not go into the next situation with baggage.
You know.
Now,
or
you got all kinds of baggage and just, you know, it's like a vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, though.
Really?
It's hard.
You're not the pity party guy, James, are you? It's
no.
Just because you were drunk, right? Right, Jimmy?
Just because I was drunk, exactly.
Oh, oh, damn. See how good she is.
You like how I just snuck that in? You know, I've been waiting for like all week to find a place where I could just snuck that right in.
10 weeks later, he's like, Jimmy?
That's how I get you. I'm dirty. I get you dirty.
You know what?
Yeah.
But you know what? You know what? I apologize. I did not mean to say fuck you. You can actually call me whatever the hell you want. I'm totally fine.
Right,
call,
no,
call me Jimmy.
Right.
Call me Jimbo.
That's right.
Say whatever.
Stick behind the way
I don't
you
care.
Feel, Jimmy. Stick
actually,
behind
no,
the way you feel.
He's trying to reverse psychology me. Because I told him, like, the one day when I first found out about this, you know, because I wasn't on the show that night, and I was like, dude, the fact that it pisses you off only makes me want to do it more. So now he's trying to be like, go ahead, call me Jimmy, because he knows that it takes the excitement out of it for me, but I know it still pisses him off, so it's not going to work.
Right, right. Yeah.
Call me whatever you want. I don't care anymore. Seriously, I could give two shits what you call me as long
as
it's not late for dinner.
Change...
I don't care.
Does that mean we can change the show to a... Jim Bob
no,
Lips on Air?
No. 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 No, 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 no. Lips
that's
on the Air
funny.
Will maintain its title of Lips on the Air.
You'll get a real
no.
country following.
I am making an executive
Jim Bob
decision.
We'll
I am making an executive decision. As the executive producer of Uncensored Radio,
right.
My show will remain Lips on the Air.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know,
I got
waiting for that Nashville crowd. We need that Nashville crowd. Because, you know, they like, they look at Carrie Underwood. She's selling millions of records. We need that, Jim Boss. Come
and
on.
James, just think of it. You could, like, feature NASCAR drivers on your show.
You can, you know, we can do, like, you can go to that, what's that trailer park that has its own TV show? It's like great. It's like you can, you know, go there and like do a live show. Like, come on. It's bitch.
Okay, are
you
all trying to turn me into a hick? Is that what you're trying to do?
Well, honey, I'm from Missouri.
I'm pulling in the hip hop crowd. You're pulling in the Nashville crowd. Just bringing the gays. Katrina.
You're bringing the hoes.
She's going to bring. Oh, that's so wrong. She's bringing the sexies. Come on.
Honey,
you know,
I'm just trying to be that honest friend that you taught me to be. I'm just being that honest friend. That's why I've lost a lot of friends, because I've turned into that honest friend, and they don't particularly care for that shit.
And you say,
well, you know what, y'all?
You say I'm unsensitive.
I really, as I've gotten older, it's gotten worse for sure. Like, I think that's been a big problem. Like, and people don't like it, but I'm tired of hearing they bullshit. Stop calling to me about the same bullshit you had last week. Like, at least, you know, I feel like when I call you to bitch about Joe or whatever, you know, like, I at least acknowledge that I'm being irrational and I just need to vent. These bitches are calling because their life is in turmoil and they just don't know what they're going to do and how they're going to survive. And it's the same conversation every week. It's like, bitch, you got to find something new to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
get you
I
a hobby.
Like, yeah, I feel you on that. It's
like
ugh,
if they could at least acknowledge, if they could at least acknowledge, you know what I mean? Like, if you're just calling me to vent, I am fine with that. But when you're calling me in crisis mode every week over the same damn thing, like, I'm not trying to hear it.
I got a friend, and honestly, guys, like, every week she's getting a divorce. Or, no, I'm back.
Hello? Where'd she go?
She dropped.
Well, every week she got a friend that's getting a divorce. I feel her because I have some friends like that. And I'm telling you, those are the friends that I kind of cut out my life because they just weren't positive for me. And they really just didn't like the fact that I just got sick of it. And I just finally started telling them the truth. Well, you need to look at the fact that you're an asshole, too. Like, and you're expecting, you're just expecting, like, I had one friend. She would drink her ass off like a crazy person, right? And her significant other could not really drink liquor because he would go, he wouldn't go like crazy, but he would just take off running. And I'm like, well, honey, maybe that tells you that he's trying to get the hell away from you. But he liked to smoke pot. And she was like, oh, no, he can't smoke pot. I'm like, but you can drink?
Right.
I'm like, why can't he have his license? She's like, well, smoking pot's illegal. I'm like, give me a break, bitch, because you need to smoke more weed than anybody I know.
Yes.
Don't you just hate getting dropped in the middle of a tangent?
No, I love it.
Don't you just hate that? That happens to me all the time. And it happens to me on my show, which is coming up next, Lips on the Air, in about 5 minutes. So be sure to listen. Sorry.
Yeah, that's what you do not
want
to miss.
I had to plug my show.
You don't want to miss the first installment of Jim Bob Lips on Air. It's going to be fantastic. Jeff Gordon. That's a NASCAR driver, right? Jeff Gordon. He does NASCAR, or is he a basketball player? I can't remember.
He's NASCAR.
Okay, yeah. Stay tuned. Jeff Gordon's coming up with Jim Bob Lips on Air. It's going to be fantastical. They're going to.
Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon.
They're going to talk about the Indy 500.
You want to know something funny? I've actually met Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon on Lips on Air. Come on.
Of course you have, because you're from Missouri.
That's so wrong.
But I'm not a NASCAR fan. I am not a NASCAR fan.
I
am the only
in your mind.
NASCAR. Stop talking about it, James.
I can see you and your mom getting your little NASCAR hats on, going to the NASCAR track, and you waving the big hand. I could totally see you being a NASCAR fan. I bet you anything if we went and did a crash bitch on the moon at Jim Bob's house, there would be NASCAR shit in it. I bet you anything. There's something NASCAR in his house.
Oh, my God.
Fuck you. Oh,
hey,
my God. Really?
My father loves NASCAR. It ain't right. It's not natural to me.
This time for the FUs.
My father loves him from NASCAR, and I just don't understand it. Like, that fool used to take me, like, there's a lot of dirt tracks up here, and he would drag me as a child to these dirt track races.
He was trying to turn you into a boy.
Yeah, I couldn't do it, because the thing is, when you go, like, well, my father, in fairness, I will give him the credit that he was a racer. He did race when I was a little kid. But, like, and I kind of was like, you know, I'd be fun. But he did, like, stock cars, and, like, I don't remember what the other type of cars are. But he would, like, take me, and I hated it, though, because the dirt, you know, it would fling up dirt and get in your eyeballs, and then they'd, like, wet the track, and then it would be, like, clumps of mud flying at you. And it just was not cute. It was not my cup of tea. So then he got with this dude, and they used to sell peanuts. You could get salted on a salted nut.
You
so
said,
like, well,
peanuts, correct?
Peanuts. Yeah, peanuts. So that was like, and you could, you know, it was
sworn you said peanuts.
They were like $2 a bag or $2 a bag, and you could get salted or salted nuts, and I knew this was a job for me. So those two would go watch the race, and I'd be selling the nuts. But the problem was, I was like a young kid. Like, I was probably like 7 or 8, you know, but times were different back then. So I'd man the little station, but I'd be so pissed because somebody would give me a 20, and I'm like, I didn't know how much change to give them back. Like, I couldn't do math that quick. Like, I was not good at it. Oh, Lord. So that guy probably lost more money than he made. But, you know, it was, yeah. So,
they were
$2
a bag,
James, so don't feel bad.
Gave you a 20.
So, it's okay. You can come out of the closet as a NASCAR fan. I can tell it. I can see it in you. You look like a NASCAR fan. Mm-hmm.
Jim Bob. I think you would get more listeners. I really.
Well, you know what?
We
only have like a minute left. We only have a minute left. And Lips on the Air is coming up in like 30 seconds. So, yeah, we're going to get this done. And,
Jimmy!
Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Oh, Jim Bob, I love you.
Oh my God.
My mind is full of things I can't explain. But give me a drink or two and I'll explain. You'll see a smile when he says my name. Cause lips ain't just my nickname. I'm the boy you wanna meet.
That's right. This is Lips on the Air, not Jim Bob on the Air, not Jimbo, you know, on the air, not Jim Bob Lips on the Air. Lips on the Air. That's the name it will always be. This is James, a.k.a. Lips. How are you guys doing tonight? Right now I'm joined alongside my fabulous co-host, Jeannie.
Hello. Dallas.
Hello, cousin.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Glad
I'm
it's
so
Friday.
Good. I'm mad. I am too.
Yeah.
I'm kind of pissed off at Jeffrey and Karen, though. They are two of the biggest bitches I've ever met in my life. And I'm glad they're muted and they can hear all of this shit. So, fuck you two. Anyways.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Why are we
watching
that?
Lips on the Air.
Oh, because they kept calling you Jimbo.
Lips on the Air.
Jimbo?
Yes. Yes.
I get it. I was like, uh-oh, what happened?
All because I made the mistake of telling, of saying that my, that, you know, growing up, you know, my family and everybody, they all, you all call me Jimmy and stuff like that, which is cool. I'm fine with that. It's family. Like, that's family. But I'm 24. I'm not a little kid anymore. And when I turned 18, it was just like James sounded more adult and more professional. And I just kind of, I'm trying to be an adult here. And, you know, Jimmy kind of takes me back to my childhood. So, and I didn't really, I liked my childhood. Don't get me wrong. I had a great childhood. But there were some things that, you know, happened in my childhood that I don't want to rehash.
Right.
And I want to,
I try to call you James, mm-hmm. but sometimes it slips because, you know, you're always Jimmy. It's
well, it's
hard.
Cool if you do it because you're my cousin. Like, it's cool because you're my cousin. Like, I'm fine with that. But when it comes to, I mean, like, you know, granted, you know, it's Karen and Jeff and they're my radio family and my, you know, I've known them for a year. Wow, that's cool. I've known them for over a year now. you know, I can kind of be okay with them calling me it, but it's just, I'm not used to it. I think that's the big deal with that is that I'm not used to it because it's Karen and Jeff. Like, I'm not used to them calling me that. I'm used to being called James or Lips, so.
You're like, uh-oh.
I mean, it's just,
right.
I know, it's just how it is. But, oh my gosh. Anyways, how's your week been?
Actually, doing okay. Doing all right. Trying to hang in there. This time of year sucks. Summer's coming.
Yeah.
I got all this traveling I'm planning and expensive. I mean, it costed me a lot this year to travel back and forth to see family and take people back and forth. And, you know, I had a really interesting day. So my dryer broke. And I have decided to wait until I get tax money back because I'm still waiting because I filed late.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, I decided to wait because I'm going to buy a new set. Instead of getting this one fixed or buying another dryer, then not getting the right washer, which happened to me before, I decided to wait and get a new set. So I thought, you know, I found some cheaper ones that I was okay with, and I've been waiting. So I've been doing the laundromat thing for the drying portion of my laundry. So today I got up really early, started all the laundry, I washed sheets, I washed, you know, the comforters that we don't really use, they just kind of go on before, so they're decorative, washed everything I could think of, went to the washer, the laundromat, and put everything in the dryer, and I literally started 7 dryers, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go smoke a cigarette. So I go outside, and I lit a cigarette, and I not even 2 or 3 drags off it, and I looked up, and there's this guy inside pointing at me. I'm like, what? So I put my cigarette down, I go in, and he speaks Spanish, no English, and I speak no Spanish. So he's trying to tell me something, and all I hear is blah, 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 and he's pointing at this woman. So I'm like, okay, and then he points at my dryer, and I'm like, okay, where'd the other one go? Like, what happened? It still had 26 minutes on it, and I had set it for 30 minutes. So I approached this woman, and I asked her, and she was like, are you accusing me of stealing your clothes? And she's like clapping in my face and all this stuff and waving her finger. It was just unbelievable. And I was like, no, I'm not really accusing you. I'm just like, maybe by accident you got my clothes. Like, I don't even know what they got. I have no clue. I'm trying to go over my head and think, like, what am I missing? I have no idea. But I have 7 dryers.
Right.
One of them's gone. And so, of course, like, the guy who worked at the laundromat just kept pointing at the sign that said they're not responsible. And I'm like, that's fine. Just take my number down because somebody's going to realize they got the wrong stuff and bring it back. So call me when they bring it back. But he speaks no English either, only Spanish. So next
especially
thing you know,
since
he
it's all
to
still wet.
Right. That's the thing is it literally was like 3 minutes in the dryer.
4 minutes.
They pulled it out because it said 26 whenever I walked over to it. Like, it was 30. There was literally 30 minutes on it. 3/4, and it said 26. So I'm thinking somebody obviously knew what they were doing. You know what I mean? And that's why
right.
the woman he pointed at made total sense because she had a bunch of kids unloading her dryers. But by the time I approached this woman, she was at her car, and she had probably 20 black trash bags of clothes that they had just taken directly out of the dryer and put them in these bags to take home. So I'm, like, really praying that somebody gets home and says, okay, this stuff's not mine. Let me take it back up there. But let me tell you, the
right.
attendant at the laundromat was so confused because he speaks no English either. Him and the other guy are talking like there's no tomorrow, pointing at the other woman, pointing at the dryer, pointing at me, and I'm like, what is going on? So finally he comes up with a cell phone, and I grab the phone, and I'm like, hello? And there's this white woman, and she was like, hey, ma'am. I just need to get your name and your phone number so that Rodriguez can call you if somebody brings some clothes and says they accidentally got yours. And I was like, okay, what did the other guy say? Like, I'm trying to get her to explain to me what's going on. It was just a mess.
Right.
And then I'm driving back home, like, I shouldn't be at the damn laundromat. I should have got the dryer fixed a month ago. This is not even right. But, yeah, that was my pathetic
yeah.
day in a nutshell. You know.
Well, and that kind of sucks. Like, you know they're talking about you, and you can't understand what they're
that
saying.
The
I think that's the
thing.
Most frustrating thing possible.
I mean, it really is. And honestly, that's where, as English growing up, you know, and as an American citizen, that's where I have a really hard time because I try to treat people equally. But it gets really frustrating when something's
right.
going with something like that and you have to communicate and you can't communicate. It's just really hard, and it makes me feel inadequate. Do you know what I mean? Like, I should have...
Right.
taking Spanish or something, and it just sucks because it's really hard to communicate. Okay, something else too while we're on this topic, because I'm probably sound really shallow, but every time I go to get my nails done or a pedicure, it drives me crazy because they speak in like Mandarin or whatever language they're talking, but it's like you can't even
right.
talk to them because they're talking to each other, and it's like so uncomfortable, and it's just like, okay, this isn't right. This is just uncomfortable. And it's horrible because
right.
I feel that way. But it is. I mean, anybody in that situation, I know that every woman who gets their nails done is thinking, are they talking about me? You know, one, like, chirps at one, and the other one says something back, and the next thing you know, they're laughing, looking at you, and you're just like, what? Do I got some special fungus on my toe? Like, what is going on here? it's
right.
horrible. But, yeah, that's
right.
probably one of the biggest
well, like,
challenges of moving to Texas is the
language. Well, think about it. When I go in there... Well, think about it, when I go in there to get my nails, like, to get just a manicure and just get my nails trimmed so they look good and, you know, whatever. And, like, they're talking to each other and you don't know what they're saying. And they could be saying, oh, my God, this guy's so gay because he's in here getting his nails done. Like, you know.
Right.
And
like,
what
man,
I love is when they try.
Show.
Right. And when they try to make that, like, little conversation with you and they're like, oh, so what are you here for today? Like. Why are you getting your nails manicured? And I'm just like, oh, I'm going out of town. Like, because I did it. But the last time I did it was when I went to Auburn for the You've Got Strength benefit back in October. And I went into, I will never go to this place again. Walmart nail salons suck. They might be cheap and affordable, but they suck. Okay?
Yeah. It took me a while to find the lady that I got now. And the best thing about her is that she talks to me when I'm there. I'm paying you $35 to fix my nails for 2 weeks. You can talk to me. You know,
right.
and that's part of it. The
right.
one-on-one
exactly.
is, you know. But, like, it really sucks because you're sitting there, and or they do, they, like, you live close, you know, and you're like, and I have this horrible, horrible problem with talking, picking that up from someone. I think we talked about this last week. So she's like, you live close? And next thing you know, I'm like, yeah, I live on the other side of town. You know, like, I'm doing it too, and I know that she notices. And I feel like it's a little idiot, but it's like it just happens. I don't mean to. So this other woman I have, like, she, every once in a while they'll talk when they're, like, talking about, like, working or get this or do this. But for the most part, like, she's really awesome about, you know, we'll talk about things or talk about whatever's going on, that kind of stuff, and she's really awesome. But it took me a year in the city to find a place that I felt like, hey, I'm good with spending $35 on this every 2 weeks, you know? Like, that, it gets expensive. For women,
hey, Jasmine.
Hi. Jasmine, yay, you'll relate to this. So, yeah, we're talking about getting your nails done and stuff, okay?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If you go every 2 weeks for your nails and every month or 2 weeks for your feet, that stuff gets expensive for women. So you're buying more than just your nails getting done. You're buying that time, that person's, you know, the service and the time. So you should be comfortable. That's the way I see it. And like I said a minute ago, like the worst challenge I had moving to Texas was the English language barrier thing.
The worst experience I ever had was I was in California for my great-grandma's, like, 90th birthday or something like that. And she had actually paid for me and my sister to get our nails done. And so our second cousin or whatever took us. And she took us to the spot where the ladies didn't speak, like, any English. And, like, this bitch freaking, okay, so you know how they have the cuticle cutters? Like, they look more like scissor type things, though? Okay, so she's doing that, and she ends up cutting me, right? And I'm, like, bleeding all over the place, and it freaking hurt. And so she goes, you okay? And I'm like, I guess, yeah, I'm all right. And then, like, she starts talking to the people behind her again. And then, like, they start laughing. I'm like, what the hell are you laughing at? I'm like, you just cut your freaking customer. And I was like, wait, ooh, sorry, I'm driving and this asshole cut me off. But, yeah, no, she cut me and she starts laughing. And I was maybe, oh, my God. Well, no, 90th birthday. Okay, so I don't think it was her 90th birthday because I was younger than what would I have been. Actually, because she's, like, 98 now. So, yeah, that would have made me, I'm not sure. I don't know.
8 years ago?
Either... No, actually, well, she'll be 99 this year. So, yeah, like 15 or 16. I think that might be a
problem. What about longevity? That's the longevity in your family.
Well. Yeah, that's my dad's side. That's because she's so damn stubborn. I love this woman, but she is so stubborn. Oh, my goodness. Like, she's still living on her own. Oh. She refuses to move into me, like, not my house, but, like, my parents' house or his brother's, like, my uncle, who are her blood grandsons. Like, she refuses to move in with them, and it's just like, you're 98, about to be 99. You need to be taken care of, you know, to some extent. Like, I haven't seen her in a couple of years.
I've worked in senior living a lot over the last 10 years, and it's really hard to, like, I don't know, like, it depends on how you're going to, if you're going to put your parents in a place like that. Like, I know that we all have busy lives, but I've seen so many people sit and cry at night or, you know, just beg me to stay in their room, you know, just talk to me for a little bit longer, you know, that kind of thing.
That's why my parents and, like, that's why my dad, like, my mom is probably not her most fabulous, like, moment, like, that probably wouldn't be the best situation, but she understands that assisted living isn't, you know, she understands that it's my dad's grandmother, yada, 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 so she's willing to take care of my great-grandma if she decided to move in. My uncle, my dad's brother, decided to even offer, and she declined both of them. And it's just like, okay, you're living on your own. You're not driving anywhere. You have food delivered to you. Like, you need some help. Like, it's okay.
Right.
You've lived a great life. You're freaking 98, you know? But she, like I said, she's a stubborn woman. She almost moved
right.
to Mississippi. And it's just like, okay, so don't move in with people who are blood related to you and will do everything they can to do best by you, but with some people who barely know you and say that they love you. Okay.
Right.
You know, like, it, I don't know. It's just I really wish she would move in with my uncle or my parents because she'd be so much better taken care
right.
of.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Shout out in the chat room to Sabrina Knight. She asked for a shout out. So, hey, Sabrina, what's going on? You're cool.
Hello.
Like and also to the guests that are in the chat room, guests 11183, 11954, 11981, and 5106. If you join blogtalkradio.com, you can actually join in on the conversation in the chat room. It's free. You
Please
can do it
do.
Whenever, and it would be cool.
It would be cool.
Sabrina, we can send one to someone else. But we're going to go ahead and jump into part of our talker topics. I was on the – what in the hell is going on outside my house?
Oh.
Are they shooting off fireworks?
Yeah, I hope so.
Someone's shooting off fireworks or – either shooting off fireworks or someone's getting shot up. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm reading the news
well,
today on,
you never
on Yahoo. I know. I'm reading on Yahoo News today in the What's Trending section on Yahoo, and it says, Michael Clark Duncan's grave vandalized by racists. And this is the story, okay? It says, according
Wait,
to TMZ, and I found this on New York Post, Michael Clark Duncan, he was in the Green Mile.
You said vandalized by who? I know who it is.
Vandalized by racists. And
oh,
I read this on it's on the New York Post website. I just linked it in the chat room so you guys can check out the story. But it says, according to TMZ, a family friend of the late actor visited the grave at Forest Lawn Cemetery in Hollywood Hills and noticed a figure of a cartoonish black face attached to the headstone and took offense. The gossip site reports that Duncan's friends and family were shocked by the image and have filed a report with the LAPD. They reportedly believe the face could be... The face could be intended as a racist insult. Forest Lawn has removed the face from the Green Mile actor's tomb, and authorities have launched an investigation into the matter. My question is, what do you guys think of that? Like, I think that that's one. You're not just being, you know, granted you're being you may be being racist. I don't know what the picture looks like. They don't have a picture of the face or anything like that. But
yeah.
That's not just being disrespectful. That's being disrespectful of the dead. Like, that's thinking very ill of the dead.
Yeah.
And this is a guy who was an amazing actor. He did a lot of really good movies. And it's sad that, you know, he passed away last September. And just he was 54 years old when he died of a heart attack. Like, he died of complications from a heart attack. What are your guys' thoughts on that? What do you think
it's
would...
ridiculous.
Why do you think somebody would do that?
Because they're assholes. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no reason.
Well, usually acts like this are done by groups. And usually they're done, like, if it was an initiation or something like that. Like, some guy was just like, hey, I know where Michael Clark, you know, I know where his grave is. Oh, well, we got to initiate these guys, so we might as well have them do this. You know, it could have been something like that. But most of the time it's groups that are trying to send some kind of message or say, hey, look, you know, we feel this way. But the truth is,
that's
it's not only
wrong
did it cross,
guy,
it crossed more than one boundary, the racism part, and then, like you said, desecrating the dead. Like, there's a level of respect you're supposed to have for the families of those people who now
exactly.
have to clean up this mess, who have to pay for it, who have to deal with it
right.
in the news. And, I mean, I think it was just kind of stupid, to be honest. They're going to get caught. You know, this is a big enough deal.
How are they going to get caught? Like, it was probably some sort of fucking spray paint, and unless there's cameras, there's no way to freaking follow that. I mean, and that's the sad part. There's no way
you
to
never
follow
know.
That.
You never know,
cameras.
Though. You never
well,
know, though.
There
it's Forest
cameras.
Lawn Cemetery. Like, Forest Lawn Forest Lawn's more for, like, the celebrities out in L.A. I mean, like, that's where
right, which is why
most
there might
of the celebrities
be
are buried at. So you think, But you think there'd be, like, some sort of surveillance or, like, a groundskeeper that could have seen something or something like, or you know what I mean? But it's just...
Yeah.
It's sad because, I mean, he was such a great actor. Like, I would never...
He just seemed like a really generally good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was in a lot of different things.
And
it's
sad.
It is. It's sad. I mean, and any time they take any situation where someone died of, you know, a traumatic or unexpected death, you know, it just makes it even worse. I mean, if this had been just Joe, Bob, whatever, from Wisconsin, it wouldn't have mattered. It was like they picked someone that they knew this was going to make headlines. Like, I think this was their intention, 100%. Most things like that, when people do things, is because they want to be noticed. So, I mean, it's really sad. It's really sad. You know, I can't imagine somebody doing that.
I agree.
To, you know, somebody in my family or somebody that would just break my heart. Like, why would you go out of your way to hurt me, you know? This doesn't make sense. I don't know.
Sorry, I'm talking in the chat room. Yes, we do take callers. If you want to chime in on any of these topics, please call in. 323-417-6705. Press 1. We would love to hear from you guys. And so, you know, rest in peace, Michael Clark Duncan. I think that's very disrespectful. I think it's very rude. And I can only imagine what his family's thinking and what his family's kind of going through with that right now. But we're going to switch gears a little bit. Has anyone been following the Caitlin Hunt story?
The what?
No.
Okay. I've heard a little bit about it.
All right. Well, apparently this girl, her name is Caitlin Hunt. She is an 18-year-old. She's 18. She's in high school.
Right.
And from what it says, she was romantically involved with a high school basketball teammate who was 14 when they began dating. Now, here's the story. Apparently, the family, the parents of the 14-year-old, decided to press charges against her because she's 18, dating a 14-year-old. The thing that kind of gets me on this is the fact that it's a same-sex relationship.
Oh.
Now, what it says here in the story is she was offered a plea deal, which would be 2 years of house arrest and then, like, 3 years of probation because the other girl's family is pressing charges. And here's what the story says.
Are they still together? Because I thought that they weren't.
I don't think they are, but this is what the girl's attorney, Caitlin's attorney, Julia Graves, said, and this is on WPBF.com. I'll send the link in the chat room. Our client is a courageous teenager who is choosing not to accept the current plea offered by the state of Florida. It's a situation of two teenagers who happen to be of the same sex involved in a relationship. If this case involved a boy and a girl, we don't believe there'd be the media attention to this case. Our client's a model citizen. She's been placed in an environment of school with her classmate where they go to lunch, where they go to school together. They have lunch together and play on the same sports team and are on the same team, allowed to communicate and contact without barrier. Then when something develops between the two of them as a result of this environment, which is created by the state, it's led to criminal prosecution. It says that Hunt's family claims the 15-year-old's parents turned Hunt in because they were angry about the same-sex relationship. I think that this is...
Yeah,
I think it's
this
a stupid... I honestly
vindictive.
Think it's stupid.
This is probably...
Right, because if you think about it... Go ahead.
This is probably going to end up being one of those classic situations where, you know, the parents are pissed because the girl decided that she, you know, was going to have this alternate lifestyle. The girl, they're probably in love and wanted to be together, for one. And it's going to end up being, I know that they separated, at least that's what I heard, was that they had separated and the family chose to press charges, but the girl didn't want to. She didn't have a choice. But the truth is, I mean, if that's the case and this is punishable, society puts those age groups together when you go to high school. When you go to middle school, and like you said, they did the same things in school. They participated in the same events. So really and truthfully, I mean, what did they expect was going to happen there? I mean, the only reason this is an issue, because these things have happened over and over and over, the only reason that this is even in the news at all is because it was a same-sex relationship.
Right. Well, and I look at it, I mean, like, I do see that, you know, there is a four-year age difference, and the girl is of legal age, so I can understand there being that issue. But the story continues, and it says, Caitlin was able to release a statement, and it says, I'm scared of losing my life, the rest of my life, and not being able to go to college or be around kids or be around my sister, be around my sisters and my family. I think what's going on is they're trying to, because it doesn't give the full report, but I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to label her as a registered sex offender. Like, they're trying to make her...
Yeah, make an example out of her.
Well, technically, that's because that's what that is. If they had any sort of sexual contact, that's statutory rape. Because the 14-year-old is underage. So, technically, by law, she could become a sex offender. Which,
yeah,
I mean, has happened
they do
to guys,
men.
Too. It's happened
men,
to, like, big sports guys who are, like, big in state or whatever, and then they, you know, mess around with this little 14-year-old, and, of course, she's way too freaking young, and he tells her, you know, oh, that was just a one-night stand, blah, 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 and she gets pissed and, you know, decides to press charges, except instead of statutory rape, they get charged with, like, legit rape, and... It's hard to prove if it was or not, and yada, yada, yada. And regardless of whether or not it was rape or statutory, the minimum is going to be statutory because of that age difference. And, again, with the freaking registered sex offender, they might have to deal with that. Like, there's been a lot of guys who have had to deal with this, too. So, I mean, I agree that the only reason why it's getting as much media as it is because... they are the same sex, but
a guy would be
facing
the same
with older high school guys dating lower classmen.
If it was a man and a girl who was 14, he would be on a sex offender list. That's, I mean,
right.
I think that honestly,
right.
In one way, I think that that should be the same standard. You know, I mean, if you're going to commit the same crime, it shouldn't be different depending on whether or not you're a man or a woman. You know, so in a way, I think that if
exactly.
that's proven, then that is punishable and correct. But I don't know. I mean, the parents kind of took this a little overboard. They're pressing charges on the other girl when their own daughter doesn't want to and has admitted to having this relationship. So a judge could just throw it out. You know, the judge could say this was consensual. You know, you get probation. This is dismissed.
Well, see, that's
and then, you know,
they can't. They can't just throw it out because it is statutory. Like, regardless of... whatever, you know, regardless of whether it was consensual or not, if it was consensual, that's what makes it statutory. But it's still statutory rape, and she can still be considered a sex offender. She might have to register as a sex offender because of this.
Yes,
you know?
That's very possible.
Right.
But there is a possibility that, you know, once you're 14 years old in this, I know, and this is the case in Missouri and in Texas, you can stand in your own
defense,
basically, right? But it's not your own defense. It's when you're 14, you can testify. Until you're 14, you have to have a guardian ad litem, which is like an attorney for the child. So once you hit 14, you are then able to stand on your own. And then I know at 16, you know, I've even heard of cases where children or teenagers are emancipated at 15. You know, there comes a point where the judge can hold that person in sound mind to say, you know what, you made this decision, and they say, yes, I did, and it was free, you know. So it was one of those things where it was a free will. I mean, I could see that this could be plead out, but why would you turn down a plea? You said she turned down the plea. I thought that she accepted it. That was what the thing
so
I heard.
She turned down the plea, and the thing with this is that it's going to go to trial. The trial is scheduled to begin in July. The thing is that she turned down the plea, she could end up facing up to 15 years in prison if she's convicted.
Right.
And then
how many years?
You had a plea where you had 2 years of house arrest, 2 years of house arrest plus probation, and it would have been, you know, you wouldn't have to register as a sex offender. You'd be out of jail. You wouldn't face jail time. You'd be in the comfort of your own home. You know, you wouldn't have to put up with.
Yeah, she should have taken that.
The scrutiny that she's going
to
get now if she gets convicted. I'm hoping
she
doesn't
do anything wrong.
Right, and I hope that she does prove that she didn't do anything wrong, and that she gets let off, and that it goes away for her. But I just. But anyway, we have a caller.
Oh.
We do.
He didn't tell me his name, but it says Constantine. So, hang on. Are you there, Constantine?
Well, I think I'm here. I don't know. That's sort of a subjective question. How are you doing tonight, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah.
Doing good. You have a very cool voice.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I was voice of Blog Talk Radio in 2009. That's how I began my professional radio career, right here on Blog Talk Radio. So it could be you too. Back to you.
Well, cool.
But yeah, you know, I was listening to what you're talking about, though. Seriously, you know, I mean, here's the thing about it. You know what? If you're 18 years old, male, female, whatever, and your partner's 14, come on, that's too young. Seriously,
it is.
I mean, boy, girl, whatever. You know, and frankly, you know, I'm for fairness. I'm really not a chauvinist. I'm a very fair-minded person. But I think, you know, women want to be liberated. They want their rights. They want things to be equal, too. They should be willing to face the same consequences.
Absolutely. That's what I almost said. If a woman's going to stand up like a man, then she needs to be treated like one. You know, it needs to be an equal give and take on that.
You know, and I know in the service, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people that have problems with, you know, women being in combat and all that. But, you know, everybody's different. There's always exception to every rule. But women, generally speaking, have a lot more fortitude than most men that I've noticed, you know. And, to say women are weak and fragile, you know, they may not be physically as strong, but, you know, they can endure a lot more, I've noticed. So, you know. Maybe that's it. I don't know. I mean, but it surprises me that I mean, if there's an 18-year-old guy and a 14-year-old, you know, I mean, you know, if my kid, it was an 18-year-old or it was a 14-year-old, I'd be telling him the same thing. You need to get somebody close to your age. You know, you're
right.
In
it's
not that big of a thing, but the developmental differences in those age brackets, that's too much.
There is a difference, and people are at different points in their life. You know, I mean, I thought about that, too, when you were saying something about, you know, if it was your child or whoever it was, you'd be saying the same thing. Any way it goes, it's wrong to some extent. But then again, they are both put in a situation by society where they have interaction with each other. So what is really expected? Do you think that should
question
not
you. How many people live here actually on this show, I actually think that's a crime. The person really, let's say for instance, whatever, they're mature for their age, or the older one is immature for their age, or whatever. It really is a true love, consensual thing. Is this a crime?
I believe that.
I mean, go to prison, you know, face getting raped for real kind of crime. You know, when I say crime, you know, as in face federal, you know, felony charges and go to jail for a long time, you know, I mean.
Well, and see, that's kind of, I think if my daughter, and she's 15, so if I found out that my 14-year-old daughter was having sexual interactions with whether it was a girl or a guy, and he was 18 or she was 18 years old, I would have a huge problem with it. It would be absolutely wrong. It would be breaking the law because I don't feel like she would be ready to have that type of relationship like an 18-year-old man would. You know, I mean, there's a difference there. And I think that from 14 to 18 is a big difference. So, yeah, I do think it's wrong. It's breaking the law. Absolutely.
But do you think that it's really fair to say that this is a sex crime and you're a sex criminal? Because,
no.
Frankly, when I was 18 years old, yes, I might have been an adult and all that kind of stuff, but I didn't have the life experiences that I do now either, though. You know?
Right.
I
would say
no.
I mean,
30 years old, and then you're messing around with somebody that's like in high school, then, you know, if you're maybe still in high school, you know, I mean.
Well, yeah, but I think that if there's an intentional force put into that, then maybe it crosses a different line. But, you know, if she was willing and a part of that, I can't see where I would take on the role of prosecuting their family if she was, you know, participant. And I guess that would just depend on the situation, too. I mean, I wouldn't want to, I mean, they would have to know it was wrong, and I would have to make sure that that point was proven, but I don't think I could put, I mean, to know somebody is on a sex offender list because my daughter voluntarily wanted to do something with them, I don't think that's fair either.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a woman, do you believe the old saying, it's kind of a cliche, but do you believe the saying, you can't rape the willing?
No.
No, I don't know.
That's, you know, that's, I mean, I don't like that phrase. It's, I don't know.
Have you ever been put in a situation, and this, have you ever been put in a situation where you feel like you understand what's going on and then realize you're totally wrong? Like, I think in a way, your interpretation of what is willing could be different than the person's interpretation.
Exactly.
So I don't think that that is even really, I mean, I've heard that phrase before, and it's almost kind of offensive, because if you're willing to the extent where you're participating and you're full force willing, then that's different than somebody getting the idea and forcing themselves on you.
Yeah. Well, and you have to understand the context I'm coming from. You know, I'm also from Texas. My third cousin was the comedian Will Rogers. You know, the guy that said, you know,
yeah,
he never met a man he didn't like. You know, I mean,
yep.
So, I mean, the thing is, my viewpoint on it is a little bit more homespun. It's a little bit more practical. You know, for one thing, I don't think that just because you're with somebody that's younger, if you're not significantly younger, which I wouldn't in this case consider significantly, is the same thing as a crime of somebody that forced themselves on someone else.
Right. Oh, no, right. No, it's not even,
and they
should,
but here's
caliber.
The deal. Being
right,
on
though.
A sex offender list ruins your life.
It does.
It does.
Not that I know personally, but I mean, you know, I know enough about it, you know.
No, right.
Well, yeah, and
right.
You can.
Right.
And even if you're proven
does
not
this
guilty,
person's
you're
life
still
need to be ruined? Because they're going to be, if they're convicted or they bid a plea deal
right
on it, they're
right
going to be risking
their life.
And there's certain jobs you can't get.
Hardly any jobs. Hardly anybody will hire somebody on the sex offender's list. Like, they'd have to be freaking lucky.
Well, I knew someone who a friend of ours, kind of a cousin of ours, her older brother, some girl claimed something and he got put on a list and he was proven innocent and she fessed up and said that she'd made it up, but he was still on that list and it was like 5 years before he got that removed, and it took a lot of time.
Does get in trouble, and that's what really surprises me, you know.
I don't think it should be something, like in this case, I think if it was voluntary between the two of them, yes, the 14 to 18 is a big difference. Would it be such a big deal if it was 18 to 22? Probably not. Because
no,
at that point,
no,
it's a little different. But
right, and like my parents,
I don't think it's serious enough to ruin somebody's life forever if this was a consensual thing. But then again, how easy is it to talk a 14-year-old into something? You know,
it might
have been consensual at the time and regrettable later.
You know, that might put it a little bit in perspective. You know, I mean, I just turned 40, you know, and of course I do a radio show locally, and I'm not saying I'm famous per se as like in a national thing, but people hear my voice, they recognize it. I'm on the radio. I have like groupies, you know, and I've always kind of thought that was a little weird anyway. I mean, I've got these like high school chicks, you know. They really are, you know, 17, 18 years, I mean, you know, or 16, some of them, you know, I mean, you know, they can't see me, they can't tell how old I really am, but just listening to my voice on there, I mean, you know, these people, like, just, you know, pursue me, you know, some are a little creepy even. The thing is you know, even if that person,
they would totally do anything if they have the opportunity.
Your moral compass, when you're an adult, by the time you get my age, you know better.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. You know better. You know, and
was
even
old and I was singing in a band that I didn't really care too much, you know, and the girls from the audience, you know, came up to me after the show, you know. All I can say is I was a pig at the time. It's just I didn't really think of it that way, you know.
There's something, how would you want your daughter? I mean, that's how I really think about it. You know, I personally
back then
had a, well,
you know,
yeah, and we were raised different than people and things are now. I mean, things that are okay in society, things we've talked about on the show before that are just not things that were acceptable, you know, 10, 20, even 30 years ago, things have changed dramatically over what we accept as a society. So with that being said, like, if you really think about it, the children today are worse off than we were. I mean, and I thought things were bad. I don't know how to explain it, but I personally had a situation where I think about if my daughter was in that situation, you know, how would she deal with life? You know, how would we do anything? So I'm overprotective. I really am. But, you know, honestly, she looks like she's 20 years old in a swimsuit. I mean, she does not look 15. None of them look 15. And the problem is that there are too many predators that know that, and it's easy for them to offer things that a 15-year-old girl would want, you know? And you see situations like that, and it's kind of scary.
Mm-hmm. But does she act the way she looks? I mean, you know, some people, no. You know, they look a certain way, but you can tell it's really obvious. If somebody's 14 years old, there aren't too many people you're going to confuse into being 18.
Well, yeah.
You know, I mean, there's been a few exceptions, but not here in America. Now, in other countries.
Yeah. And my biggest problem is trying to protect her, but not letting her do the things. I mean, I was wearing makeup, I was dressing however I wanted, you know, those kinds of things. But it was different then than it is now. Now it's no problem. You know, and with being in Texas, like, half of the people, honestly, that are looking at her, I can't even talk or communicate with. You know, I'm always like, she's 15. Like, everywhere we go, it's a mess. But I don't know. I think that if anything happened to her, I would want the strongest punishment possible.
Hmm.
And if she participated in it, I would expect that, you know, at least they would know the severity of it, but I wouldn't expect their lives to be ruined because she voluntarily participated in something. Does that kind of make you understand what I was saying? I mean, I know it's wrong, but I can't see ruining somebody's life over a consensual decision.
You know, to bring this full circle, you know, I had the opportunity of interviewing Gene Simmons, Kiss, you know, the guy that's on the television show. And, you know, when I talked to him about this, and Gene Simmons doesn't drink and he doesn't use drugs. You know, he is one of the few people that I've actually met in the music business. He's straight. He remembers it all, you know, and he's pretty much in control of himself. You know, he's pretty well thought out. But when he, you know, if you know anything about the backstory of Gene Simmons, I mean, he had the Polaroids of every girl that he was with. And we're talking about like tens of thousands.
Yep.
Not exaggerating. I mean, lots and lots and lots of people. And really, generally speaking, a pretty nice guy, well-spoken, intelligent. And he said, I did nothing wrong with any of those women, whether they were – I'd never intentionally slept with a minor. But even if they were a minor, I did nothing wrong with any of those women because what I did is gave them the time of their life that they will always remember.
Each one of those girls not only waited in line for hours but had every intention of doing those things. You know,
and from him and some guy that's like an 18-year-old jock on a football team who's approached 18 years old. There's no difference.
You're right, because they still idol them in a way. They still look at them like they're the
top shit.
Yeah.
Freaking, yeah.
So what do we call you?
Just call me Mithril Weaver. Mithril Weaver. Well, it's Mithril and I. No, I'm
Weaver.
Well, I used to make, at the Texas Renaissance Festival, I used to make chainmail armor, and this guy said, oh, I say, this isn't a period material. This isn't steel, because I was using aluminum. And it's like, what is this? And I thought real quick, I'm a big Lord of the Rings fan. It's Mithril. Oh, so you believe you're a weaver of Mithril, are you? It's like, why? Yes, I do. Back to you, ladies.
That's awesome.
That's awesome, right? It's great.
Well, it was good that you called in and gave us some feedback on what you thought about all that. Do you think that she should have taken the plea bargain, though? That's the question. Did she screw up?
I think she does. Yeah, I think she did.
If it was deferred adjudication, where, you know, you can stay the amount of time out and eventually, you know, it can be expunged from your record, yes. You should never plead to a sex charge, I wouldn't think.
I don't think you should plead to anything you didn't do.
Well, life and justice isn't always that clear cut.
No.
And that's the sad part. Is you're not innocent until proven guilty.
In Texas, for example, because I've observed this myself. Life, the law, and the way courts work isn't always fair. You know?
Yeah.
Well, you're not really innocent until proven guilty. I mean, the whole system's kind of changed. It's more like you're guilty until you can prove that you didn't do it. You know, they'll even detain you before they can prove.
See, that's not necessarily true. I mean, I guess it might have changed. I mean, with the way that our system works now, people are getting away with too much shit off of technicality. Like Casey Anthony and yada, yada, yada. There's been tons of them now. And it's just like this whole being innocent until proven guilty, it might not be the best thing. I mean, yes, some people get screwed in the long run if it is guilty until proven innocent. But imagine the people who would be behind bars, you know, if it was vice versa.
I have
justice can be paid for to some extent. I mean, you know, the thing is, like, for here in Abilene, Texas, you know, a guy literally got out of his car. He was angry, you know, and wasn't even particularly drunk. And he was from a wealthy family, shot the guy in the head.
Wow.
Cops did not arrest him and let him go home.
Eventually,
he was executed. But, I mean, he was with an affluent family here.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know, this wasn't like the guy was threatening him. I mean, this was like fender bender. The guy got out with a gun, and the guy was just sitting there yelling. It's like, man, put that gun down. Who the hell do you think you are? You know, and he shot him in the head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's not funny. I mean, it's the irony of that. But
right,
whatever,
right.
Justice,
right.
You know, it's a funny thing. You know?
I just think that a lot of times, you know, I haven't had any real problems, I guess, in my lifetime, but just a few tickets, things like that here and there. And so I haven't really dealt with a lot of situations, but I've known people, you know, that did. And, you know, for instance, this kid, he was 15 and he was driving his car and somebody asked him for a ride and he gave two guys a ride that he knew from back in the day or whatever. And he gave both of them a ride. They got out of the gas station. And then before he got home, he got pulled over and was arrested for a robbery and attempted murder. These guys like beat somebody and robbed them with like wood and pipes and stuff. And it happened to be in Jefferson City, Missouri, which is like the capital of Missouri. So it was a big deal. And all he did was drive.
Just three after the fact or something like that?
Well, they had video of when the guys got in his car at one place and when they got out of his car at another. And he kept saying, I just gave him a ride. I just gave him a ride. And he ended up getting 3 years in prison. No
for
probation.
For being an
no
accomplice.
Yep. Yes, even
for
though he didn't
accomplice.
Know. Even though he didn't know. And the guys admitted that he
yep.
didn't know. He still, even though, and that was the thing. That was what I didn't get about it, was he didn't know that he did it. The guys admitted and told the police that he didn't know that he was doing anything wrong. He didn't even know about the robbery, any of that. They all told him that, and they still charged him.
What kind
yeah,
of place was
right
it? Was it a federal offense? I mean, was it like
no,
a
this, it was,
or?
No, these kids behind.
With it.
Well, it was behind a gas station. They called and ordered Domino's Pizza, and they robbed the guy, took $34 from him, and beat him with a pipe and a piece of like wood 2x4. Problem was,
over
the guy $34
with a deadly weapon.
$34 and pizza. Well, check this out. This is this is the messed up part, okay? It was over pizza. So he followed him. I guess when they got to the abandoned house where the pizza was delivered, they found the guy. He was all beaten and everything. He ended up being in ICU for 3 weeks and had no memory whatsoever. And it happened to be on Father's Day. Well, then they followed the trash and the wing pieces and stuff to the gas station where the attendant had seen them get into the car with it, where this kid gave him a ride. So he had no idea any of it happened. The problem was this,
nope.
this kid was a nephew of a governor of Missouri, so it was in Jefferson City. I mean, it was a big, huge deal. And so Patrick ended up getting the 3 years, no probation, no parole. Well, then I guess the pipe was in Patrick's car, and that was what held it up. So he served 8 years before they even ruled on it, and he has 3 more years to go. He went in at 15. He's going to come out.
Wow.
It's going to be 10 years. Yeah, he's going to come out at 25.
So he was tried as an adult?
Yes, he was tried as an adult because he'd had prior juvenile offenses. He had priors when he was younger. Vandalism, you know, spray painting, stuff like that.
You know, there's no way to tell on stuff like that, you know.
But it was made an example of because it was in the state capitol. It was a huge deal, and it just, you see something like that, and then that's a personal thing because you know that person. And the next thing you know, I'm seeing someone who robbed a bank and shot 3 people and gets 5 years. And you're just like, how is that even possible? They intentionally did something wrong. He actually didn't. And it was one of those things where we all at first didn't really believe him. I mean, once they started proving stuff, then it was like, oh, God, I'm so sorry I didn't believe you. You know, I mean, everybody wants to say they're innocent when they're guilty. That's kind of, you know, one of those things. So it was really challenging. But you see the system fail other people in so many ways, and it's just hard to believe that that is going to help you when you need it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a flawed process somewhere in there.
It is.
I love my country, don't get me wrong, but every system. And, you know, the thing is this isn't Texas or Missouri or anything. This is everywhere. You know, because one of the most important things I learned as an activist when I was young, I used to work with my dad for the American Indian Movement. He used to argue, we used to arbitrate arguments. Usually it's between, well, I hate to put it this way, the best way to describe it, white people and Indians, you know.
Okay.
And, perception and reality are two totally different things. You know, I mean, what you believe, it's like, you know, I was talking to a friend the other day. It's like, okay, if you're insane and you tell someone that you're Napoleon Bonaparte and you believe it, did you lie? You know, I mean, are just such, you know, but the thing is, here in Texas, your typical argument would be, well, yeah, but did he know right from wrong? Well, even though, you know, he may have thought he was Napoleon, does he still know that killing somebody would be wrong? And they would go ahead and put him in jail, whereas in, say, California, this guy's nuts. He needs to be in a psychiatric ward.
He might think he's Napoleon Bonaparte, but if he still knows killing somebody's wrong, then he's still, I mean, he might need some treatment behind bars, but no, an institute is not where he needs to be knows right from wrong.
Yeah.
Does he know what's right from wrong? That's where the psychological side comes in. Can he really understand what he's done? And that's where a lot of people get off on that.
He's somebody different. Yeah, like if he, I mean, he might think he might have like a, I mean, he might be like an alternate personality or something, but he still knows that alternate personality still knows right from wrong. Killing somebody is bad. Robbing somebody is bad. It's against the law. You're not supposed to do it. If you know those simple facts, like those simple rules, then, yeah, you deserve to be behind bars no matter who you think you are.
Mm-hmm. Let me give you some insight on that one argument, though. Multiple personality disorder, I have a master's in psychology, is incredibly, incredibly rare. There are only probably 75 confirmed cases in America.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it is incredibly rare, you know, and it is always accompanied with severe sexual abuse. You know, I mean,
I can imagine.
A guy in Oklahoma who was 15 who had multiple personality disorder, and for reviewing from his case from months, I really believe he did actually have it. But still, you know, people use that disorder so much, it's like most people don't realize. It's like, you know, just because of its rarity, you know, I mean, it's kind of like Occam's razor, you know, keep it simple, stupid. Or here in Texas, you know, you hear hoofbeats and you're in Texas, you don't think zebras.
Yeah. Right.
Most of the time, nobody thinks about you anywhere near as much as you think about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the thing is most people know what they're doing is wrong. But if they're totally insane and don't know what reality is, you know, I beg to differ on sending somebody to death. You know, I mean, no matter what.
Yeah. Depending on the disorder is, like, if they're schizophrenic, they deserve to be in a psych ward. They need help.
But are they schizophrenic or are they just manic depressive? Because some people have high highs.
Oh, no, no.
Like, this is a topic for a whole new show.
Those are way too opposite diseases. Like, you can't really compare those.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, those are, you can't compare the two.
Well, I don't know how much time we have left, but it was, in case we get cut off, it was great to meet you. Glad
it was, indeed.
It was a pleasure.
It was awesome to hear some of your wild stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, 4 years of Shakespearean theater in Oxford didn't help. It didn't hurt much, but anyway.
Nice.
Strumman's countrymen in my ears because I've got a fetish for them. Woohoo! No.
Awesome. That's way cool. We were talking
thank
about.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Yes.
Later.
Yes, you're awesome. We'll hear from you again.
Thank you so much for calling in, and you are welcome. You are welcome to call in anytime you want.
Please. Please. Yes, that was interesting. It was fun to have such a awesome voice
personality.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Well, let me tell you something. Doing commercials pays a lot better than listening to people's problems as they sit on your couch. I'm just saying, you know. So.
I bet. Well, that's awesome advice. I'll have to look into some of that.
Yes. Well, again, thank you so much for calling in. And this was a lot of fun. And please call in anytime. We would love to have you back on. Okay.
Okay.
It got quiet.
It did.
All right. Well, and apparently Jeannie dropped. So.
Okay.
All right. Well, that was cool. Mitchell Weaver, thank you for calling in. Constantine,
yeah.
For Albaline. I think that's what your thing says on. Yeah. We only have like 4 minutes left, 4 minutes and 30 seconds. I don't know if Jeannie's going to call back in or not. But yeah, got a few things we need to say. I want to touch base on the topic a little bit more. You know, with the whole Caitlin Hunt thing, I think that my opinion on it is I think that it should be, they really need to talk to the 14-year-old and find and get, you know, even if it's a psychiatric evaluation or whatever, they need to talk to her and find out how she felt. A lot of it, though, I think is the reason her family or the reason her parents are prosecuting the girl is because I don't think her parents like that she's a lesbian, like that she came out at such a young age. I think that they look at it kind of like, you know, my mom did when I came out, that it was, you know, you don't know yet. You don't know who you are. You're only 14. You don't know who you are. You don't know what you like. You need to experience things. You need to live life and da, 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 da. And so I think that the way her parents are looking at it is that this girl, Caitlin Hunt, brought this lifestyle onto our daughter who's 14 years old and is impressionable and whatever, without actually taking into consideration, how does your daughter actually feel? Do you actually take the opportunity to sit down and talk to her and discuss what's going on in her life and how she feels about things and what makes her think that she's a lesbian and why she likes girls and all that? Like, take the time to actually sit down and talk to your daughter or talk to the person that you're trying to claim as the victim before you prosecute and ruin somebody else's life. I think that's the big issue here, is that her family is trying to ruin this girl's life all because they don't like the fact that they
their
think
daughter's
that,
a lesbian.
That she turned their daughter into a lesbian. I think when it comes to like the whole age gap between dating, there's definitely, you know, I think there are limitations. 4 years is a huge difference, especially when she's only 14 and you're 18. You're 18
but
years old.
See,
there are
the
maturity
thing.
Levels that are
you
different.
You know what? 4 years. Okay. Yes, 4 years when you're that young is a big difference. Mm. But if they're spending so much time together. You know, with these sports teams and yada, yada, yada. I mean, those are most likely legit feelings. Like, it's hard to say that when it's the captain of the football team trying to hook up with a freshman cheerleader, you know, because, I mean, I hate to say it, but guys are very manipulative at that age. And all they care about is scoring as many girls as they can. Not many girls have that mentality, especially at only like 18. So these feelings are, I mean, to me, they seem very genuine. Yes, at this particular time, it might seem like a very big age gap, but when they both are of age and, you know, are in their 20s, okay, 21 and 25, you know what I mean? When you say it that way, it's
not
really that big of a deal.
At that point, it's not really that big of a difference. Now,
exactly.
This is
like,
a subject
I'm 23
we could go on
crushing
about forever.
On like 27-year-olds. Like, it's stupid.
Right. And this is a topic we could talk about, you know, forever, and I would like to talk about it more, but we only have like a minute 30 left.
30 seconds.
So,
do your thing.
I want to say thank you again, Mr. Weaver, for calling in. Constantine, you're awesome. We would love to have you back on anytime you want to call in. Please do. Tomorrow is Saturday. It's the Jake Fetlin Show at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. They'll be talking to Debbie the Pet Lady, who has been exiled from Howard Stern. So definitely tune in and check that out. Also, make sure you are listening to Uncensored Radio Monday through Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific for Guilty Pleasures. The Schmooze is Mondays, Title Pending on Wednesday, and No Rules, Just Mike's Thursday. And be sure to listen to Lips on the Air every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Thank you guys so much for listening. Jasmine, thank you. Jeannie, I don't know what happened to you, but I love you. And thank you for calling in and being a part of this conversation. And this is Lips Kissing Off. Good night, everybody.